You know, tonight's topic is quite a fitting topic for a Wednesday night. And it never ceases to amaze me how God listens to the desires of our heart. Our topic tonight is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Have you ever thought of how humbling it is that Almighty God would hear the petitions of us, would hear the things that burden our hearts, which I can only imagine on the grand scale, if we try to, as much as we can, with our finite mind, imagine, you know, what it must be like, the things that God is doing and the things that He has His hand over and His hand upon. If we try to think about that, and I think, in all of these things, the Creator of the universe would hear what's on my heart, would care about what my burdens are, would care about the things that I care about. That is a humbling and a powerful message of love. You see, we come here every Wednesday night as believers. We join together to make our petitions to God. We come to the throne of grace right out front to God Almighty, and we deliver to Him, and we make requests of God. Can you imagine that? Does that sink in? That we just spent the time so far that we've been here this evening, we just went and made requests of God Almighty. And He tells us to, and He listens to us, and He cares for us. Let that sink in for a minute. How good is God? How good is God? I put a note here that to engage in intercessory prayer on behalf of our neighbors, our friends, and our families, it's a humbling thing. What's even more humbling is that God can be moved to act on our behalf. Not only does He hear and does He care, but the Scriptures show time and time again that God is moved to action on our behalf. Isn't that humbling? Isn't that amazing? That Almighty God would not only hear and care what we feel, but that He would move, that He would act on our behalf. Wow. What manner of love? Yes. Yes. What manner of love? So as we begin tonight, I ask you to please turn with me to Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 32. We're going to go to verse 30. We're going to take a look at a lesson of intercessory prayer. The first thing that I want to point out in tonight's lesson is I want us to take a look at the heart. I want to take a look at the heart of someone who gives intercessory prayer, right? So let's read verses 30 through 32. There at verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord, and he said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now see, does that sound familiar? Someone else wanting to pay for the sins of the people? Reminds me of what Christ would do. The only problem with Moses' heart, this is the heart of someone who makes intercessory prayer. This is the heart of someone who prays for others. You see, Moses was literally loving others as he loved himself. He viewed their sin and what the condemnation upon them, he took that upon himself. He was willing. He said, Lord, if you're not going to forgive them, blot me out. You know, Take it out on me. The only problem is Moses couldn't do that. Only Christ could do that. Only Christ could pay that price. We see the same heart in Moses. Though he had the same heart, he didn't have the ability to pay it. But this is the heart of someone who makes intercessory prayer. When we take our petitions to the Lord, this is the heart. We are praying on their behalf. We are coming to the Lord on their behalf. And it's a powerful thing. We see the compassion that Moses had for his people. But what does God say to him? What is his reply? Read verse 33 here with me. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. In other words, the Lord was telling Moses, it's not your place to pay that price. That's not on you. That's on them. But there was something that came about because of this. And here's where we're going to get into a little bit of depth here. Hop over to chapter 33. We're going to, just a couple of verses away, we're going to look at the first three verses of chapter 33. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Stop right there a second before we read the rest of verse 3. So even though they've done this great sin, even though they have gone after these gods of gold, right, they have turned their back yet again on God. Yet again. God has said, I'm not going to remove my promise. God's promises are good. That's the great thing about a covenant. A covenant and a contract are two different things. He'd made a covenant with the people. A covenant is built on trust. A contract is on distrust. The covenant can't be broken no matter what the other person does. A contract is dependent on what the other person does. God said, my word is good. I'm still going to lead you into the land that I've promised. But look at the rest of verse 3. This is huge. Look at the rest of verse 3. He says, He says, I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Did you catch that? What does that mean? I want to make sure that everyone's grasping how big of a statement that is, what that means for the people here, all right? God has just basically put his foot down. He basically dropped a bomb on them, right? God, who has led them out of Egypt by a mighty hand, God, who then hardened Pharaoh's heart to take this man and use him to show himself mighty yet again when they came to the Red Sea. God, who as they're going through the desert, has provided everything that they need. Every time that they begin to complain, God is the one who provides for them. It's God that provided their food. Can you imagine the multitude of people traveling through the desert? You think it would be difficult to feed and to provide water for one person traveling through a vast desert? Imagine trying to feed a multitude of about 1 million people, all of the tribes together, to provide for them. Every time, God is the one who provides, right? God is the one who gives them their food and their water, the one who takes them into Elim, the one where they get their rest at, where they find the 12 wells, right? So what does this mean? God has just said, I'm not going with you. Remember, God is the identity of this people, right? The tabernacle goes with them in the midst of the camp. Everywhere they go, people know them by what? They're to be known by the people of God, the people whom God is with, the people whom God himself delivered out of their captivity, led them across the sea. And now he's telling them, I can't be around you. No longer will I go with you. I'm not going up with you. And look at the reason that he gave. He said, lest I consume thee in the way. His holy and righteous nature, he can't let sin go, right? He can't just let it be. That's outside of who God is, right? He's the just God, the righteous God, the holy God. So I can only imagine what's going through Moses' mind as he hears this. Just overwhelmed. Brings to mind a verse in Hebrews that says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's what this brings to mind. That's exactly what God was worried about. They didn't seem to realize this at this time on who God was, which is clear from their actions, right? But God Almighty knew, if I'm there, it's not going to be good, Moses. It's not going to be good. So, what is Moses' reply, though? Moses, then, this is where we see intercessory prayer come in. Moses, on behalf of the people, begins to plead with God. He begins to bring their case to God. And this isn't the only time that we see this, right? We see that there's many examples we could use, right? Just one example that comes to my mind just off the top that we've already seen as we start, if you're following along in the Bible reading plan. Do you remember whenever God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And there we see Abraham with that same heart of intercessory prayer. Lord, what if this? What if this? Now, it didn't help out very much because the people were fully wicked and it didn't matter, right? But he still is doing the same thing that Moses is about to do. He's going to make a request of the Lord. He's going to make intercessory prayer on their behalf. Hop there now. We're going to hop over. We're going to stay right in the same chapter. Just go down to verse 15. Read with me in verses 15 and 17 as we look at Moses praying for the people, basically. That's what he's doing. He's making a petition to God. He says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us. If you're not coming, don't send us out. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? In other words, that's what I was talking about a second ago whenever I said that God was basically the identity of these people. They were known because God was with them. The miraculous might that God had. And the things that he had done, the only thing that made the nation of Israel great, the only thing that made them special, the only reason they stood out, wasn't because of them, it was God. And that's the point that Moses is saying here. He's saying, how in it have we found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? It's going further to finish out verse 16. He says, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, and all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So that was Moses making his petition, saying, Lord, if you're not coming with us, don't send us. Please don't send us unless you come. In other words, he was saying, Lord, we can't do this without you, is basically what he was saying. We can't make it without you. The people didn't seem to realize this, but Moses did. Moses understood what that would mean. And so on their behalf, he brings these petitions to God. He's pleading with the Lord. And that's what we do. Whenever we come together and we begin to pray for these people, all the people on this list that we have here on our prayer sheet every Wednesday, that's what prayer is. Whenever we do intercessory prayer, we are pleading with God on their behalf. That's what it is. Now we're going to see God move in reaction to that prayer, right? Now, about this. I'll read it and then I'll explain, okay? I'll read and then I'll explain. So, read 17. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, this is his response to Moses' plea. He says, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So here, God has said, I will go with you. I will still go with you because you have found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. So it's not, get this, this is powerful. It is not for the sake of the people that God goes with them, although knowing who God is and the heart of God, I have to believe that a part of it was because of that. But what we see here is that it's because of his relationship with Moses and the desire of Moses' heart, the pleading that he had for them. And it's the same way that when we pray, we don't want our prayers to be hindered by our sin. Our relationship, we can pray and bring requests to God, and that God will move in a powerful way for others. We see this here. He says, I'll go up with you. I will do this thing that you've asked. I'm going to read a verse for you here. You know what? Let's just all head over there. Head over to John 17. Let's head over to the New Testament now. I want to show you just a couple of things. More examples. Here in the 17th chapter of John, we have Christ praying his high priestly prayer, right? He is going to give intercessory prayer here for his disciples, the men that God has given to him, the men that have been with him during his earthly ministry, right? That's what's happening here. He's coming before God the Father on their behalf, just like before Abraham came out on the behalf of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then now we see Moses coming on behalf of his people. Here we see Christ praying on their behalf. 9 through 11 there, John 17 says this. This is Christ. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You see, Christ was about to pay for the sins of the world. I have no doubt that there was a multitude of feelings, of fear, of, I can't even put into words what must have been on him at this time, for he knew what was coming. But look at what he's praying about. His prayers are for others, and he brings them to God the Father, asking that he would be with them. He says, I pray for them. He was about to endure the death of the cross. The Father was about to loose his wrath and his judgment upon Christ for our sakes. He was about to pay that price that we owe. Yet, what is his thought? Intercessory prayer. Christ knew its power. He knows the power that it has, and he brings that petition to God. And we know that because of Christ, we can pray on people's behalf, right? If you didn't know that, it's because of Christ that we're able to come boldly to the throne of God, that we're able to come into his presence. Hebrews 4 says this. This is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So there we see that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is the only mediator between God and man. There's no other name. No other name. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, he's felt what we felt. He's been through the things that we've been through. He's experienced this. This is the beautiful part. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. The term boldly is used here because to come before God himself, you would have to be quite brave. You would have to be brave to step into the presence of Almighty God, which is what we do when we pray. We come to the throne of grace. We submit our petitions. We make requests of Almighty God. We do more than just come before him. We ask him to do things for us. It's humbling. It's humbling to think of that God would hear us. and it's because of Christ. I put a note here that Christ has justified us. He is our only mediator, our high priest. And this is reaffirmed in the scriptures in John. John reaffirms this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except by me. When he said no man, he meant no man by any reason. I put a note here that, and we'll get into the verse here in just a second, that just as Moses made intercessory prayer for his people and Christ for his disciples, did you know that the Holy Spirit makes intercessory prayer for you and I on our behalf? That's the Word of God. The Scriptures tell us that whenever we don't have the words, that the Holy Spirit on our behalf goes to the Lord, goes to God the Father, of course, God, three persons, but it says that the Holy Spirit makes those through groanings. He tells and makes those petitions and takes them on our behalf, even when we don't know what to say or how to formulate it. Romans chapter 8. That's where we can find that at. I'll turn there with you. Head over with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 26 and 27 talks about this, about how the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he hath searched the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? To know that just as Christ was praying for the disciples in the garden, the Holy Spirit is on our behalf in the times when we don't have the words, is praying on our behalf. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful thing to think about. The God that we serve is a God of love, and he is a God of righteousness, and he is a holy God, and he is a God that is personal. It bothers me when I hear people say, well, God is impersonal, he's not involved. God is very involved and he's concerned very much with every single one of us. It says that the Holy Spirit is with us always, right? Christ said he would be with you till the end. He makes groanings on our behalf when we don't have the words. That to me says personal, involved, there for you. That's the God that we serve. Intercessory prayer. In fact, Christ's entire earthly ministry was a ministry of intercessory prayer. Do you realize that? His entire purpose here was about being able to bring prayer to the Father. He was coming on our behalf. That's why he came. You realize that? We talk of intercessory prayer whenever we talk about us going before the Lord, right, on someone else's behalf. Why did Christ come? What was the whole purpose for his life and his death? Was it not for us? Was it not on our behalf that that happened? Absolutely it was. Timothy is where we find the verse that tells us about him being our only mediator. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The only way we go to the Father is through Christ. Matthew, I'm going to hop over and read Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. And the reason I'm hopping around here is I want us to get an idea that this isn't a singular event. This is something that we see throughout the Word of God, this idea of intercessory prayer, that God hears and acts on our behalf for others. Verses 50 through 51, Matthew 27. It says, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And this to me says it all right here. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Notice that it says that it was ripped in twain from the top to the bottom. God came down so that man could come up. That was the purpose. Because of the work of Christ, God is now accessible to us. We were separated by our sin. The curtain that separated us was rent in two. This tells us that all barriers between God and man are removed. They're gone because of the work of Christ. We have need of no other priest, no other ransom than his blood, no other works than that which he accomplished when he proclaimed, "It is finished." It's the final work. It's because of Christ that we can come boldly and submit requests to God. I want you to know that today that God hears your prayers. He hears our concerns. He cares. He acts. Whenever we pray, just earlier this evening, when we brought our prayers to God, and the first thing we did was we gave praise for those prayers that he's already answered, those things that he's already shown himself mighty in, those healings, and how he has already been seen working. Now, the outside world, the ones that don't have a relationship with God, they'll say that's coincidence. They'll say, well, that's not God moving. I don't believe that. I've seen too many things. God the Father hears us, he cares, and he acts. Have no doubt about it. If I can leave you guys with one thing tonight, if I can leave you with just one thing to keep on your mind, it's the power of prayer and what Christ has done, that we can come to God. That's a powerful message. Trust in the power of prayer. When we are praying, our voices, our requests, they don't just go up into the air and get lost. They're not just bouncing off the ceiling. God receives them. He hears them. So the last two things I have for you are praise Christ for the cross. Praise Christ for the cross. And praise God for the power of prayer. Now, there's a hymn that I'd like us to sing before we close out. That just there's so much in this. Are you familiar with Sweet Hour of Prayer? Has anyone here ever tried to pray for an hour? I haven't. I have not tried to pray for an hour straight. But I think to myself, wow, an hour of prayer. I can only imagine how good that would be for our hearts and for our souls. The words of that hymn are so deep and so true. Join me as let's sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Brother Farron, would you come and lead? Because it's going to be nasty if I do. I'm not a singer.
Sweet hour,
You know, as we sang there, the very end of the second verse, powerful words. I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. And thank God that we have that. Join me as we close out in prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight to thank you for the time that we've had in your home, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship here. We thank you for the message, Lord. We ask that our hearts would receive it, Lord, and to take it with us, Lord, and to serve as a constant reminder to us, Lord, of what you've done. Lord, let us never forget that you hear us when we pray, that you care for us, Lord. That though you are high and far above us, Lord, and we so far below, Lord, the great love that you have shown us, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Father, that we can submit petitions to you, to put our every care upon your shoulders. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. We ask that you would use us in a mighty way, that you'd be glorified. Father, be with us as we pray for those that, Lord, that don't know you, that are facing infirmity, Lord, that are dealing with hardships in their lives. Father, we just lift them up to you, that your will would be done. Father, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.